Ready, Megan?
Ready.
Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
Happy Spotify Wrapped Day.
Happy Spotify Wrapped Day. It's such a joyous day.
It really is. I've honestly been checking for the last couple days, being like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And as soon as I woke up this morning, I checked and it hadn't happened. And then all of a sudden, there it was. And now it's all I've been doing all day is just checking everyone's Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's, I think we said this last year when we talked about it, like anyone who's a Grinch about it, like just stay off social media.
It's fun. Like, it's so fun.
It's so silly and just something to bring joy.
It is. It's silly. It's something to bring joy. We'll talk more about ours and just, like, I feel like finding...
should we just start with it?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like the one thing, which we knew this about everyone, is, like, and I guess this is true to yours, is that Miss Rodrigo is her hold on the world, her chokehold on the world is strong.
Yeah.
It's strong. I mean, it's not even just you. Like, everyone. I think if the big conniption that happened with my Spotify rap didn't happen, Miss Rodrigo would be in it as well. Like, it's wild.
Tell the people what the issue with yours was.
So, everyone, my artist and my 2021 rap is a bit fucked. Because, you know, you think you're doing a kind thing when you let your parents who don't really understand Spotify or whatever, like, use it. Like, throughout the year, I'd be like, oh, you know, like, my parents are just, like, listening to music again. But always the same artist. Always Luther Vandross. And I said this, like, off the cuff a couple times to Megan Vera. I was like, the way that Luther Vandross is going to be in my Spotify rap somewhere... But never could I have assumed or imagined that Luther Vandross would be in my top five played artists.
It's just wild, Giselle, because, like, I listen to so much music. Like, I constantly have my AirPods in. I'm always listening to music.
I listen to 67,000.
You listen to more than me by a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, you listen to a lot of music. So for that to happen...
That's
your
why
parents
feel...
stream the fuck out of him.
That's why, okay, so that's why I think I have so many things to say about it because, like, I think some things are accurate, but the artists I just feel like are not accurate. Like,
there are songs that are missing from my top 100 that there is no way that they are not in my top 100.
Right, and, like, I, trust me, like, happy as a clam to see Lady Gaga being my most played artist for the fourth year in a row, but, like, God love her. I didn't play her that much this year, like, or Ariana Grande. Like, I didn't play either of those two people that much this year, and they're both in my top. And, like, I knew Casey would be. I figured Muna would be. But there's, like, other people that I've played so much more this year. And, like, my parents don't even listen to Luther, like, music that much.
Right.
Like, they listen, they, over the course of, like, a year, maybe they've stolen my Spotify, like, 10, 12 times. Like, so I was like, this is just... feels wrong to me. And I streamed the fuck out of Sour. So for Olivia to not be in my top played artist, and also I think they do it by, like, aggregating how much you listen to, like, one thing, or I don't even know. It was so crazy. It was, right. it felt
And I
off.
Mean, as we've talked about this morning as well, we have discovered this website that's statsforspotify.com or whatever. And basically, we are always checking it because it shows you your top songs of the last 4 weeks, your top songs of the last 6 months, your top songs of all time, and same with artists. So, like, we kind of knew what we were getting into as we were going into this. Like, I knew exactly what I was getting into. I hoped that my top five songs weren't all going to be from Sour, but four out of five of them were from fucking Sour, right?
Yes.
So, I was praying, and I stopped streaming Sour on purpose because I knew the hold that it had on my top songs the last 6 months. But, like, we kind of knew what we were getting into, so that's another reason why it was a little bit of a shock. Like, I wasn't surprised by any of mine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I, you know, we, I just, I don't know. It's just wild. Like, it's interesting. They definitely do some sneaky stuff there, and, like, there's definitely missing stuff, and I mean, something about it that we were saying as well is the copy and the way that they, the whole story, the main story character thing, shit, the main character energy. They really, really were trying to connect with the kids with the lingo of TikTok and the internet, and it just didn't go well.
No, I was like, why are they asking me? Like, they're like, when you're fighting the battle and the blah, 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 I'm like, not this. But
it's kind of like a bot like created this, like aggregated from like all of the internet speak.
I'm like, someone got paid to copyright this, and I'm sorry, that person should probably be fired. But you know what? Hey, they got a check. I also have to announce to everyone that my most played song of the year, which is absolutely not surprising to me, is Daisies by Miss Katherine Perry. The only Katy Perry song in my top 100 played songs of the year, a song that came out many years ago, but the way that Daisies has a chokehold on me and my life is absolutely astounding. Like when I clicked it, was doing the little thing. First of all, I texted you guys this. The first song that played, like when it starts your thing, was Selfish by the Jonas Brothers from the Nick Jonas album. I was like, we're in for it. Like, we're not in for a positive experience. And then Daisy started playing, and I was like, oh my God, I fucked myself with that one. Like, I really did.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Yeah, it's just, and then they tell you what percentage of the population you're in, and yes, like by how much you streamed. I thought I was a lot more than 91% of the population. What are you, 96?
Yeah.
Sean's 97. Hi, Sean. Yeah. I DM'd him about that. I was like, damn.
Literally. Sean's most played artist being Madison Beer. Like, okay.
I mean, it tracks. It absolutely tracks.
I was texting Kubale about it. For anyone that doesn't know, my friend Kubale is also a pop culture fanatic. And her most played artist and like four of her top five songs was Zara Larsson. I was like, we love Zara Larsson, but I think you are the only person where Zara Larsson is in their like top four favorites or most played songs. I was like, this is wild to me.
That's so funny. Giselle, tell everyone what your most played podcast was of the year.
My most played podcast of the year was Las Culturistas. Las Culturistas coming second to I'm Screaming. But that's because...
No, coming in first before I'm Screaming.
Yes. Sorry, thank you. That is what I mean. But the thing about it is, I am here. I'm live. I listen to it. I mean, I record it, so I know what we talk about. I do listen to my own podcast. I mean, I do. It came before any other podcasts I listened to. But also, I guess, like, I've just been listening to a lot more Las Culturistas in the last year. That's, like, the one podcast now, which you turned me on to, that I, like, legitimately will listen to every Wednesday. Like, yeah. I used to do that with Who Weekly, but, you know, like, I don't really listen to it anymore unless I'm, like, bored.
I've never listened to Who Weekly anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, and, like, and I don't really listen to Keep It that much anymore. And Still Processing, which is my actual favorite podcast, is, like, literally never like recording. I feel like they put out four episodes a year and then it's like done. So Las Culturistas, Matt and Bowen have really been my besties who announced that they're not even doing their culture awards, and I'm like, lol.
I know. Podcast. I kind of was thinking that they weren't going to end up doing it, because I think the bit was the nominations and the different categories. I'm Screaming was my top playlist or podcast of the year. But
of course.
I listened to two episodes for a total of 37 minutes.
So, like,
I don't listen on Spotify, though. I'm an Apple Podcast girl. So, yes. That's because I hate, you know what I hate about Spotify? I'll say this. What I hate about Spotify is that when you listen to a podcast, it makes, like, you stop listening to your music. And then if you have, like, a queue going,
it, like, fucks it up.
It fucks it up. So, that's why I don't listen on Spotify. I like to keep my music and my podcast separate.
Okay, yes.
But I also don't really listen to our podcast that much because I hear the whole thing.
Meg, as everyone knows, Meg literally edits it. So I think she doesn't need to listen to it for a 10th time.
Sometimes I'll just like zoom through it so that we'll get an extra listen.
Yes, always. The last thing I thought was funny was like the audio aura.
Oh my gosh.
Mine is just like, your top music moods are bold and confident.
The way that it's so you.
So I just listen to fucking like crack pop every day.
Mine are wistful and hopeless romantic.
I feel like that's the Taylor Swift of it all, right? Like, I feel like that's very the Evermore folklore vibes.
Yeah, of course. Also, Casey Musgraves.
True.
Casey was in my top five. Ari. I listened to a lot of Positions. So you saw my top five songs, but my sixth song was POV from Positions.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like you did. You always sneakily are listening to Ariana Grande. Like, I feel like, obviously, people...
She never is out.
the people know that you are a live album stan.
Yes.
But I love that you had a little Positions renaissance this year.
Absolutely, yeah. 630... Point of View, some of the bonus tracks, which I like never listened to when they came out. But yeah, Ariana stays my number two, even though Olivia Rodrigo had four of the top songs. She's only number three.
Yes.
And then I was happy that Harry Styles crept into my top five.
I know. See, that's, I say this every single, well, the last 2 years, when I've actually actively been listening to so much Harry, it always shakes me that he's like nowhere in my like top 100 or even in my top five. Like I listen to a lot of Harry Styles. Yeah. I'm like, it's so weird. Also, I feel like, well, I told you this too. Like this year I feel like I listened to a lot more new artists or like different artists. So I don't know. But here we are. Like once again, I still see Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande in my top five.
I know. So. Gaga slipped out of my top five.
I'm like, that's why I'm like, how? Like they told me Rain On Me was what my most played song, which I do still stream Rain On Me. And maybe that's why, because it's both Ari and Gaga.
Yeah, true.
But I do love Miss Gaga, and I do stream her often, so it's fun. But yes, the Spotify Wrapped is here. It's a fun day. I've literally hid the Luther Vandross songs on my playlist so they don't play when I'm shuffling it.
Did you see that tweet that I posted to my story? I feel like it encapsulated it really well. I'm completely obsessed with Spotify Wrapped Day. I'm sorry. Like, the vibes are immaculate. It's like a little show and tell at the psych ward.
Yes. It's literally all of us being like, wow, we are depressed.
We all need therapy.
Literally. Everyone's like, okay, so we all hate our lives and we stream sad girl shit. Everyone with, like, Phoebe Bridgers is like...
Speaking of, I was just about to say, you have announced... publicly, I haven't talked to you about this because I haven't seen you in a while, that you're a Phoebe Bridgers girl now.
Congratulations. Thank you. I have publicly made the announcement that I am a sad girl. Miss Bridgers is... I can't listen to her at all points in time. Like, as opposed to many people, we know this, like, I am not, like, a chill, working music kind of girl. Like, I'm streaming like Daisies and like Dance for the Hell of It while working. So there's not always a time for Miss Bridgers, but in the mornings I have been known in the last couple of weeks to put on Miss Bridgers. And I did like the new sad song. It's sad. It's slow. So
it's a cover, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I like her. I had a little bit of a moment with her because of Still She Fun. And I'm happy to be on the train.
She and her boyfriend are very public now, Paul Mescal. Are they? I don't know if you do follow her on Instagram. She's been posting him, like, on her stories all the time.
Really?
Yes. They're, like, official. I mean, they've been official for a while. Like, I remember back in, like, the immediate post-Normal People days.
Yeah.
There were rumors about them. So I think they've been together for a while, but, yeah. She do be posting him. She posted him on Thanksgiving.
So. Okay, Miss Bridgers, be in love.
Yeah.
Are you a sad girl?
Is she a sad girl? Is she a happy girl? Is she a hopeless romantic like me?
Literally.
Anyway. Yes.
Cheers to Spotify Wrap.
Cheers. We hope you all are happy with yours.
Yes. Okay, should we move into a little bit of a TV show round robin?
Yes, absolutely. Can I just say one thing? I'm of sitting course. In my living room and I have the TV on Netflix because I started that new Oscar Beatty movie, The Power of the Dog. And you know how when you haven't been watching Netflix for a while, like, it comes up, like, different shows, like, suggestions?
Yeah.
I was just absolutely attacked. I turned my head to see Coming Out Colton season one premiering Friday.
I did see someone chaotically post a New York Times photo of Colton, and I'm like, not Coming Out Colton.
Absolutely not. Nothing.
We, on this podcast, we are not standing. We stand people coming out, but we're not standing Colton. So
Yeah, I'm going to be receiving information about that show through TikTok and Twitter only. Yeah. Like, I will not be receiving it with mine own eyes.
No. I will not be giving them or Colton a stream.
No.
That will not be happening. I added another show because I watched it.
What did you watch?
Oh, I added it. Wheel of Time.
Oh my god, you watched it? Yes! Oh, I'm so excited. Wait, did you watch all four episodes?
Yes.
Oh my god, do you like it?
Yes, Mr. Tim and I are watching it, and I think I like it more than him, but I like it. I really like it. I'm like, first of all, like, yes, like, women taking over the fucking medieval world, like, we stand that. I really like it. I'm like, what's happening? But also I'm like, okay with it. Like,
right.
I still am like, spoilers quickly for Wheel of Time, everyone, which so you should watch it. But is the new woman or like the black woman, the dragon, are all five of them the dragon? Like, what's happening?
Okay, so I don't know the answer.
Okay.
I do know from a little bit of reading that I've done about this, because it's a book series. It's like a long book series, been out for a long time. Really, really popular, like, book series.
Rosamund.
Rosamund Pike. I know, truly, like, starring role. what I do know about it is that in the book, it's not a secret from the beginning. So this is something new that they're doing for the show, I feel like, to, like, get new watchers, like, interested, which I think is working. I think only one of them is the Dragon Reborn, and I don't know who it is. So okay. I'm excited. I'm excited to find out, too. That was iconic, though, in that last episode. What's her name? Nynaeve?
Yes.
When she just, like, exploded with power, I was like, yes, bitch! Like, yes, you are powerful.
It was iconic. Also, the guy the guy who was saying he was a dragon is the guy from Money Heist.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. He's like the main professor in Money Heist. But basically, for everyone that are you still listening to this right now, Wheel of Time is like a Game of Thrones-esque show. As Meg said, it's on a book series. Rosamund Pike is starring in it. And if you like fantasy stuff, if you liked Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, that kind of stuff, like, this is definitely a show for you. And even if you didn't, because, like, I think I always say this to Meg, like, I hopped on the Game of Thrones train so late that I just, like, can't really get on it because there's so much to do and it feels overwhelming to me. But I think I would have loved it if I started from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing to say. And also, like, I just haven't been able to really, you know, accept Lord of the Rings yet. Like, I watched the first one and I was like, but I think I will like it. I just have never been in the right mindset. So this Wheel of Time show feels good for me because I really like it. It's like, you know, slow enough, but, like, also enough's going on. There's some, like, love kind of thrown in there.
Yeah.
People are dying. There's, like, fucking women, witch people, like, ruling the world, and dragons. So, yeah.
I'm really excited about it. I really think that last episode, because they dropped the first three the Friday before Thanksgiving, and then this new episode last Friday. They drop a new one every Friday. And I think that episode that dropped last Friday was, like, really exciting, like, got me really, really into it even more than
I agree.
And the book series actually is, like, what is an inspiration for Game of Thrones. Like, George R. R. Martin has cited it as an inspiration. And the good thing about it, and I mean, like, I don't know if this is going to run forever, like, or if it's going to, like, finish the whole story because it's a really long story. But if it does, what's good about this show is that the books are done. Like, they're finished. So with Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin still hasn't finished the books. So there's sort of, like, yeah, there's no, like, open-endedness to it. Like, there is, I believe, a finish, like, an ending to the story. So rather than, like, with Game of Thrones, around season 5, and there were 8 seasons, I believe. Not really sure. Season 5, season 6. The showrunners and the writers had to sort of start, like, branching out from the books and, like, coming up with new storylines to get to, like, the ending that George R. R. Martin told them is the ending. So that's why, like, people were really disappointed, I think, with the last season, because it was just kind of chaotic and, like, they didn't know how to get it to the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I think would be good about this show. I mean, it, again, like just all said, if you're into fantasy, if you're into any of that, it's a nice little show. And I think there's like 8 episodes in the first season. They're already halfway through filming the second season, so there's going to be a second season.
Oh my God, yes.
So it's a bit of like a safe bet of something to watch right now.
I love. Another great thing. Like, can I have permission to appear on my soapbox?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says, and actually I don't know what people are saying, but Hawkeye is a good fucking show. And also, it's probably one, it's like, to me, it's like, I mean, there's only been 4, but like, it's high up there on the list of like, these MCU shows. I think it's really good. How are you feeling about it? Are you not liking it?
I had a plan of how I was going to do this.
So I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna say something controversial and brave. Oh my God. Oh, Hawkeye's good. Hawkeye is good.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Yes. Okay. I was going to tweet it earlier, but then I wanted to, like, do that to you to, like, fake you out a little bit that I didn't like it. And that's why I wasn't responding to your text earlier as you were watching it, because I also cried this episode. It also made me cry. And I am supremely entertained by it. I mean, like, I don't give a fuck. I think people are liking it. I think viewership is a bit down, probably because of show fatigue, but it's doing fine. Like, we don't have to worry about it. It's all good. It's good. It's funny. It's clever.
I laughed, like, audibly.
It's different. I don't care. It's good.
Thank you. Also, Sean, I know you listen, who is, yes, a notorious Marvel critic, texted me and was like, wait, this show's good. So, yeah, like, once
I will
again,
just say, if I could be someone
in
Hollywood, if I could, like, have the career of someone, if I was a famous person, I would want to be Hailee Steinfeld.
Same.
That girl has so much going for her. She is talented as fuck. Like,
she is talented.
And
let's
she's
not deny.
Just, like, I'm just obsessed with her. Like, I really just I'm obsessed with her, and like, congrats to her, because like, wow, what an intro. Today's episode was so good, so entertaining. I'm obsessed with the dynamics it's setting up. I really need next week for Yelena to be in it. I don't know if I'm gonna get that. I also am waiting for Kingpin.
Yeah.
Because they teased him this episode. And there's only 3 more episodes, so they got to bring him in at some point. What?
There's only 3 more?
Yeah. Yes, there's only 6 episodes. I know.
It's so rude to
sad.
Me. Like, why? I'm sorry. Like, can I say another bold statement on this podcast?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is already in 3 episodes better than the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Period. Let's be honest. Yeah, you know I love the besties being besties, but like,
no, and, you're right. You're right.
And like, I liked Loki, but I like this better.
Yeah.
WandaVision still like superior, even though this hasn't finished yet. But like, this is like on WandaVision level to me. Like, as in, like, it's good. It's good. Like, it's Hailee Steinfeld giving us acting. I feel like there's like, this is a thing, Meg. Like, Marvel with Falcon and Winter Soldier had a hard time doing a, like, daily hero type show, right? Like, they couldn't, it was hard for them to, like, put, why can't I think of their names?
Lord Jesus. Bucky and Sam.
Thank you. Put Bucky and Sam in the real world and, like, have it try to be, tackle real issues, but also be fantastical. But, like, with Hawkeye, like, the stakes are, Clint wants to get home to his motherfucking family, and that makes you cry and feel important. Hailee Steinfeld is a badass archer, and, like, that man probably is, like, gonna kill her mom. I don't even know. But, like, that's a thing we need to be worried about. And then also, you think he's good?
I think her mom is bad.
Yeah, her mom I don't like.
Yeah, I think her mom is bad, and maybe the guy, the fiance, is trying to stop her from whatever she's doing. I think maybe she's like working with Kingpin, because the fact that they went into the mom's security system, the like Bishop like Enterprises or whatever it is, and they found this like separate thing with where Kazi is, who I love. I love this guy who's working with Echo.
Oh, and he's iconic. Yeah. He was like, no, that was iconic. Also the ending when it was like, oh, and I was like, no, give me another episode now. No, it's so good. Hawkeye's the lead. Jeremy Renner, honestly, you're giving me acting in this. You're giving me acting. You're giving me, like, emotion. You're giving me all the things I need. Because I like Hawkeye. And I'm not afraid to say it anymore.
Don't be. I do. You shouldn't be. Shout it from the goddamn rooftops, babe.
And also, like, everyone that told me that I was foolish, it wasn't you. You never told me I was foolish.
Never.
But people would tell me I was foolish. Take this. This show's fucking good. And, like, I need everyone to know and to watch it. Boom.
What I appreciate, I love it. What I appreciate about this episode that came out today is that what I think was missing from the first two episodes a little bit. So, like, something to think about with Hawkeye, which is crazy, because I feel like the more time goes on, the more I can, like, poke holes in Endgame, right? Where, like,
yeah,
obviously it was this huge movie. Obviously we loved it. Obviously whatever. Obviously I had my problems with it in certain areas. But his whole storyline as Ronan in Endgame, where he was going and, like, murdering all of these people, these, like, criminals, obviously, but I, you know, like, at this point, what we've seen is just, like, mostly people of color, too, you know what I mean? Problematic, right? In terms of, like, he didn't really have to suffer consequences for it because Black Widow sacrificed herself for him. Yeah. And that was also a moment that, like, hit me emotionally when he said, Ronan's dead, and they said, who killed him? And he said, Black Widow. But I appreciate that they're kind of, like, dealing with, that they're, like, showing the other side of it in that, like, Echo's dad obviously was killed by Ronan, as we saw at the beginning of this episode, which was absolutely, I was just sitting here watching it, and I all of a sudden I was, like, in tears. Because
I was sobbing.
And we'd met Echo 3 minutes before, right?
Who's getting a show, also.
Who's getting a show, which I'm now so excited about. Like, yes, I hope that Kazi's in it. I hope that, like, you know, whatever. But I appreciate that we're going to have to deal with the consequences of his actions a little bit. You know what I mean? And that they're, like, addressing it and not just, like, oh, well, he went back and he's a family man and he's Clint. And it's like, no, but he did all this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, let's deal with the consequences.
I agree.
I am excited to see Yelena.
Yes.
Excited for her to, like, do whatever. I don't know, like, come for them and then, like, start working with them. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what they're going to do. But
good for Hailee Steinfeld.
Good for Hailee Steinfeld. Good for everyone involved. It's fun. It's super fun.
Congrats to those people.
Congrats.
Kevin!
Did you see? I like, clapped by myself. Because in the credits it says a Kevin Feige production.
Yes. I'm like, Kevin, let's fucking go.
I was like, yes, it is!
Also, for anyone that wanted an update, we will indeed be seeing...
we will.
Spider-Man together.
We are seeing Spider-Man on opening night. I hope everyone who's listening who wanted to get tickets got tickets.
Meg, of course.
It was a bit... Yeah.
Meg got them for us.
I did see a TikTok that was, like, really made me laugh. It's like, you know the ones where it's like, it's about drive, it's about power, we stay hungry, and then it's
we
like,
devour.
And then it's like, I'm spinning like a
power. Yes.
It was like, with the first part, it was like the designated ticket friend trying to get tickets for Spider-Man Home, and then it's like everyone else sleeping.
Literally. Like me, like, waking up to Meg being like, got him. But, like, also, I get Meg's, I get Meg's Twitter notifications. So I woke up to not thinking we got them because Meg was like, fuck you, AMC, or something like that. And I was like, oh no. So then I didn't want to, like, you know, say anything. And then he said, you got them. And then, you know, I was uncovered. But Meg was up angry tweeting, and I was like, oh no.
I was. I stayed up till midnight because they released them on midnight on Monday. And immediately, everything's crashed. AMC, Regal, Cinemark, Fandango, everything. You can't get in anywhere, right? And then finally I get through on AMC and they put me in a queue that says like 55 minutes. And at this point it's like 12:15. So I'm like, okay, like, let me keep trying the other websites for another 15 minutes. And if it doesn't really move, then I'm just going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. Everyone was tweeting about it. I mean, this was worse than trying to get tickets for Endgame. Also, I think because, like, they made a specific, like, date. They made it at midnight. They did, like, this whole big, like, promotion for it. So people were, like, ready, and everyone was having a hard time. And obviously trying to get tickets in New York or LA is harder than, like, middle of nowhere. Like, I've been seeing, like, TikToks of, like, wait, I thought it was supposed to be hard. Like, I just got a bunch of tickets. It's like, yeah, well, if you live in, like, I don't know.
Literally.
Like, somewhere random, not a big city. You're going to be able to get tickets. But then I just, like, naturally woke up at, like, 4:30 and went on to the AMC app and found tickets. So wasn't too hard. And we're going on opening night. So, I mean, the only thing is the UK gets it a day early for whatever reason. It's opening on the 15th. So
absolutely,
we're still going to have to stay off social media. But yes, we are going. I am actually getting really excited for it.
I am
And I can't wait.
I'm excited. Yay! Marvel really feeding us this year.
Never not on our throats. And I saw people being like, well, there's going to be such a long break in the beginning of 2022. But, like, we have all these shows coming out.
Yeah.
So we good. Still haven't watched What If, but we good.
We will. We will. Maybe I'll. Maybe that'll be what I'll do on the plane to Arizona. I'll just, like, download them all and be like, what if?
I almost pressed play on it today, and then I was like, nah. I think it's that first. I think it's that first episode that's discouraging us.
They picked the wrong episode. I'm sorry. I just don't care about whatever her name is.
Peggy.
So, yeah, Peggy. I'm sorry.
Like, that die. Sorry. Like, that's just, like, everyone's like, oh my god, like, she's a woman. It's like, there's other women in the MCU. Like, we're done.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really believe it's the first episode because I started watching it and I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
So let's watch it together. Next time we're together, let's just watch that so we can get through it.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Iconic. Okay. Moving on to Gossip Girl, which, once again, like, I guess this is a thing I do, which is, like, not watch all the things when I feel like.
Wait, did you ever finish?
I did.
Did you like it?
I did. I did finish Only Murders in the Building, but I was like, oh, Meg's like, oh, did you watch Gossip Girl? All the episodes. I was like, oh my god, yes, girl. I watched the two that were released, and she's like, there were three. I was like, it didn't come up. Like, it didn't. Like, I'm just like, fuck that. But I did watch the first two episodes of Gossip Girl, and I think Peter texted us this, but it's completely batshit. Like,
yeah,
it's never not batshit. My hot takes, which maybe aren't that hot, is that Zoya is annoying me. I can't deal with her. I want a spinoff of Monet and Luna. That's really like, I just want to watch. I think with this Gossip Girl, it's so hard for me is, like, I just want to spin off with Monet and Luna because I just want to watch them do, like, rich people things in dress cute. Like,
I know.
Like, the old Gossip Girl. Like, I know we're trying to deal with, like, all these things. And, like, the plot line of this last part of the season is, like, spoiler alert, Julian's dad is, like, accused of sexual assault. And, like, it's going to – I didn't watch the third episode, but I will. But, like, it's just trying to do a lot. And now there's, like, a fucking – the teachers are overthrowing Tavi Jensen. And, like, then the storyline with Max and that teacher, like, ended so quickly. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. I guess controversial. I really liked these three episodes.
Okay.
I really liked
it. Not controversial. Maybe I'm controversial.
I think it finally is, like, its own thing a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I mean, obviously, like, the Thanksgiving episode is never going to be the Thanksgiving episodes of Gossip Girl old. Like,
yeah, I did like when they all, like, appeared.
But I really liked it. I think it's, like, I think they're finally, again, like I said, I think they're finally figuring out what they want it to be and how they want it to be a little bit different than the original Gossip Girl. And again, like, I know, like, I do think it's still missing some of that, like what you were saying, the Monet and Luna stuff and, like, the fashion and all that stuff. But I think I finally believe that they're all friends.
Yeah, agreed.
Finally, I'm buying the connections. Finally, I'm, like, interested in the relationships. You know what I mean? Like the throuple, which is now,
that's
like,
the best part
a couple,
me.
But now Max is hurt and, like, wants back in and is, you know, all that stuff. So I'm, like, interested in these dynamics. I'm happy that, like, they didn't try and keep Julian and Obi sleeping together a secret for too long. That needs to be done. Like, it needs to not be a love triangle anymore. Like, the Zoya Obi relationship was I'd never bought.
No.
Ever. And it makes more sense to me that he would be into Julian 100%.
Right.
And, like, that they're the core relationship. Like, they're maybe, like, the Blair and Chuck or whatever. Or, like, the Dan and Serena. Like, whatever. But I think Zoya needs to, like, be her own person. She needs to, like,
I agree.
Because, like, I agree with you. She's annoying. But I think the more that she is, like, on her own and not with Obi, and I think the more that they build on the sister relationship with Julian and Zoya, I think the better the show is going to be.
I completely 100%. Agree. I want, like, I totally agree with what you were saying about, number one, the relationships, and number two, that relationship. Like, the only ones that they still have it, and I think that's why I don't buy the four girls. Like, I don't buy Julian, Audrey, Luna, and Monet. Like, I get that they're trying to tell us that they're really also not really great friends. Like, Julian
I
and...
I think like, Julian and Audrey are best Serena friends. And Blair. Like, but they didn't make that clear.
From the
first episode, it seemed more like Luna and Monet were, like, Julian's best friends, whereas they're more like the minions from the original Gossip Girl, who, like, we always knew Blair wasn't really friends with, right?
Right.
So I like that maybe they're trying to make the minions more of, like, an actual relationship, and I do think I have, a suspicion that the three episodes that are dropping tomorrow, which will be when this episode is out... we'll have more Monet and Luna, but Audrey, like when Audrey comes to school and, oh wait, no, you haven't seen this yet. This is in the third episode.
Okay.
But there's like a scene with Audrey and the rest of them, like Julian's not there and they're talking about Julian and like Monet and Luna are so focused on like the brand and like the social media and whatever. And it's like, they like work for her. You know what I mean?
No, I guess that was true in that one scene where she was like, I have to fix things with Monet because like I need to repair my image, right? Like that's
right, exactly. And it's like they're just making the relationships a lot more clear now. And I think, I don't know who said this. I think maybe you said this. I don't know. But someone said like, if they had done like an episode focusing around each character.
Yes.
Like that would have maybe made it clearer what the relationships are like, who prioritizes who, all that stuff. They didn't. The first half of this season was a mess. I think that they are finally like getting to a place where it can be good.
I think
season two is going to be good. I do.
Yeah, I feel you. And I also appreciated that we like, there were stakes, right? For Obi and Aki. Like they were telling us they were best friends, but I was like, they're not best friends. They don't talk. They don't speak. So, but, like, now, like, I am seeing them trying to develop that, and, like, I need to watch the third episode, obviously, but, like, I see what you're saying. I think, it's coming together. They're getting their shit together.
100%. I'm really excited for tomorrow's episodes, and then it's done, so, which is crazy.
Right. I need
12 episodes.
I mean, I guess we're on HBO because we have one more HBO show. But I need you to watch, or maybe you did watch Sex Lives of College Girls.
I haven't. It was, so I made a list of things. This is the only way I get things done, is making a list. So I did make a list of a Thanksgiving watch list.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, it was 8 things on it, right?
Okay, wow, yes.
And the two things I didn't watch are Sex Lives of College Girls, and I wanted to start The Great on Hulu because I've been hearing really great things about season 2. Okay. The one with Elle Fanning and Nicholas Holt.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of them I caught up on. So Succession, I caught up on.
How's that going for you?
Amazing.
Great. Love
just,
it.
I mean, it and Insecure, we'll talk about Insecure, but both of them on Sunday night had, like, their best episode of the season, basically, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Wheel of Time, Gossip Girl, Hawkeye, and then I watched Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, I still need to watch that.
Which was, my mom and I watched it. It was so good. I liked it a lot. And Lynn. King Richard.
Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting for King Richard to see it with my family, like, when I go home for Christmas, because I know they're going to want to see it. So I am waiting on that one for a reason. I do need to watch Tick, Tick, Boom. Maybe I'll do that tonight. But yeah, Lynn.
Listen, he did what he had to do.
I also want to watch the Lynn Disney movie. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus.
Oh, Encanto. It's not. It's just in theaters right now.
Okay.
But maybe, but, like, at the end of the month, it might be on Disney Plus.
Probably for Christmas
time. I think they're bringing it to Disney Plus pretty quickly.
Yeah. I want to watch that, too. But, yeah, I think The Secret Life of College, Sex Life of College Girls, like, I'm hyping it, but I don't want you to think I'm hyping it because I think it's prestige TV. Like, it's Mindy Kaling.
No. Yeah.
Like, it's a Mindy Kaling production, and it's very strongly smelling of Mindy Kaling. But if you, as you liked Never Have I Ever, even though the second season was not great for me, but if you liked Never Have I Ever, you'll enjoy this.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm definitely going to watch it. It was, like, on the list. I just didn't get to it. I was prioritizing things that, like, I would see spoilers of more quickly, you know what I mean? Where it was, like, higher stakes, so. But I'm definitely going to watch that now that I'm, like, caught up on some of these shows. I mean, I have, like, a bunch of other shows to catch up on, too. I still haven't even finished Ted Lasso season 2.
Oh, yeah. I need to start that.
Which is
so crazy. I need to watch Dickinson. But, yeah.
Oh, you do need to watch Dickinson. It is so good. This season is so good. Ugh.
And then, finally, in our TV show roundup is Insecure, which we only have 3 more episodes of, which is insane.
Crazy.
It's that speeding by.
Like I said, like, obviously, my Sunday nights are Succession and then Insecure. Succession came back a week earlier than Insecure. And so there's only 2 episodes left of that, and then 3 of Insecure. How did that happen?
Speeding by.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't know how they're going to wrap Insecure up.
I don't know either. I mean, I think that they drew a line in the sand with Issa and Nathan this week.
Thank God.
I think next week it's over, unfortunately.
I also, like, feel like they don't really have that, like, they don't have that much chemistry, so I'm kind of, like, over it.
No,
you know?
They have, like, friend chemistry.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, like...
Also, Issa's just, like, trying to push this relationship because...
Because she's not over Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to be over Lawrence so badly, and she's not, and so she's pushing it. And, like, Nathan can't commit, and Issa is, like, being so inconsistent about, like, what she wants because she still is in love with Lawrence. So... all of this comes to say that, like, it's just not going to work, the relationship. Lawrence has moved back, which I guess, you know, is what happened at the other end of that phone call that we saw at the end of his episode, mm-hmm. where they were like, what do we do? So he did the right thing in this situation.
Yes.
So thank you, Lawrence, for doing the right thing. and, yeah, so now he's back and 3 more episodes. So I think... next week we wrap Nathan, and then Lawrence and Issa are back, like, in each other's lives at least.
Yeah.
I mean, but actually next week is, like, a girls trip thing.
Is it?
Right?
I didn't see the preview.
That's the preview. Is like, it's like the girls, like, do a thing. So, like, maybe they broke up already. Maybe we're not even going to see the breakup. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Molly's storyline's been interesting this season too. Just, like, finding herself. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
oh wait, you said Molly?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're setting it up for her to end up with that partner guy,
right?
Which, like, I kind of love. I don't know.
I kind of love it.
Like, I think it's just, like, he's been in the show for so long now.
Yeah.
And they always had this kind of contentious relationship, but it was also a little flirty, and he's cute.
Yeah.
And, like, I loved their interactions this episode where he was like, wait, you worked through all of that? Like, what the fuck kind of thing? Like, your mom had a stroke. Like, go be with your mom.
Yes.
And him, like, caring. It was just, like, I liked it.
I liked it, too. It's good. I mean, it's sad. And very, very sad to see Insecure go so soon. But
yeah.
Grateful for the time we've had with it.
Can I say something?
Of
just
course.
Sidebar.
So between girlies?
You're not really... No. You're not really watching Bachelorette anymore, right?
No.
So there's a guy who's still at it. She's down to her final three.
Isn't which are... It's like insane. They're all black or something, right?
Well, the final four were all black.
Yeah.
But they're all... It was crazy because Katie and I were watching it last night and, like, all of their moms are white. And her mom is white. So it, like... checks out, but also all the moms looked alike. Like, literally all of them looked alike. They all looked the same. They all look like her mom. It was crazy. It was, like, truly crazy. There were, like, three redheaded moms. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what is happening?
Not that.
But
no, also, sorry, not the Bachelor's, like, obsession with biracialism. Like, it's just a bit weird. But keep going.
The guy that I like, that I want Michelle to end up with, I don't know who she ends up with, is this guy Joe.
Right.
And I think he looks, not exactly, but I think he looks like Kendrick Sampson.
Ooh. Also, like, I think after Tayshia and Zach broke up, oh my God. Oh my God. He looks exactly like Kendrick Sampson.
Right?
That is Kendrick Sampson's brother.
Literally. So I hope she ends up with him because I like him. And also he lives in Minnesota. So like, it would make complete sense for them to just like live in Minnesota together. But yeah, that's what's going on with The Bachelorette.
I think I'm not sticking to the statement I'm about to make on the podcast, but I have a statement to make.
Go for it.
I think they've lost me. Like they had me and then they lost me and then they grabbed me back again. But I do think like they've lost me.
It is so fatigued, Giselle. And I was saying last night, like, it's not Michelle's fault per se, because I like her and I think she's great. But the thing is, she never got a real storyline on Matt's season. So all we know about her is that she's beautiful and she was on Matt's season and she's a teacher and whatever. So, and also, it's so impossible, even if you're trying, even if you're someone who's trying to be your own person on that show as a lead, it's manufactured so that you fall victim to the tropes of, like,
right,
saying the same thing as everyone always says and, like, the same kind of situations happening and forming from this whole experience. Like, it basically is, like, a machine, and it turns out the same shit over and over and over again. And so it is just so boring.
Yeah.
It is so boring. Like, you asked me at Friendsgiving, you were like, did you watch this week? And I was like, no. And Katie was like, yes, we did. We watched it. And I was like... completely not even barely paying attention. Like, it's just so boring and it sucks. And like, they made this like freaking boring ass white man the Bachelor, and they're like, you're gonna love his story. He went home last week. All that happened was that she just didn't feel a spark with him. He went home. He was like, I just like want to be in love. I'm just a guy from Missouri who like wants to be in love, and he's like a former like wannabe football player, all this stuff. Last night, the guy she sent home, Rodney, his whole thing, the whole season has been like, I've always been an underdog, right? Like, he said it like a bunch of times, even though he was also an NFL player. And like, when she was saying goodbye to him, she was like, I know that you're always feeling like you're the underdog, but I just want you to know, like, this wasn't you, like, you're enough, and like, whatever. Like, Michelle's good at giving like little pep talks to the guys as she sent them home. And then last night they released a poster for The Bachelor with Clayton, the other guy. And the tagline is, everyone loves an underdog. So they fully just stole Rodney's thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm sure you got a notification for my Justice for Rodney tweet.
Yes.
Because that's what I meant by it. Like, they literally stole his thing.
It's just too much.
So
it's too much. And also with Tayshia and Zach breaking up, I just, like, can't.
Oh, my God. And I saw a TikTok
that was, like, with that, the annoying guy. The guy who's annoying. You know
he
who I'm talking
drives
about.
He's insane, so annoying. Giselle.
He's so annoying. He's so annoying, but he always
every time
comes
I
up.
Hear his voice, I just...
He's so annoying, but he always comes up. And this time, he was saying that apparently they're going to, like, Tayshia's going to...
On the mental all.
But he's also wrong all the time. So
no, he's wrong all the time. He did this whole thing with Dancing with the Stars, where he was trying to predict who was going to win, and he was like, Dancing with the Stars is rigged, and he never once thought Iman was going to win, and then Iman won. Yeah. So it's like, you're literally stupid. Like,
you're stupid, and
he was
wrong.
Like, I got people duetting him, calling him out for bullying Suni Lee. So,
oh
like,
my God.
He's absolutely notorious on TikTok.
But he's everywhere. He always comes up. I'm like, sir, enough. But yeah. I'm like, I really gave a lot to that relationship. And the fact that it's no longer a thing, I'm like, I can't. But yes, that is the situation on the shows that we, of course, talked about more than we even wrote down. But I think we should move into Anthony and Jasmine.
Okay. Oh, wait, what was your question about baby actors for Insecure?
Oh, I did write in our little list, I have a question about baby actors. I don't really understand how they work. Like, do you, as a mother or father or guardian of child, do you say, I am going to literally give you my 3-month-old child to be in this for money?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's like, I don't know. That's a really good question. I guess, like, they definitely probably get paid. And, like, I guess maybe it's, like, if people, like, want to put their child to be a child star. I don't really know, actually. I don't really know the answer. It's a good question. It's a good question. At first, I thought you were going to ask, like, how they threw the baby without it getting harmed.
Oh. No, I just was, like, they're just... tossing, not really tossing, kind of, but like they're just handing this baby. I'm like, whose baby is this?
Yeah. I'm sure the parents are like there.
Yeah.
Also, like if they were filming in the, I mean, I don't know if that was a set or a real hospital, but if they're filming in a hospital, they could just be like, hey, like, can we borrow your baby?
True.
For like
maybe
5 minutes.
Someone else's baby. I don't know. But I was like, not this baby.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to ask.
Good to we'll just like do some research about that and figure out what the situation is.
Yes, we will return with an answer.
This like plane noise. What is happening? I have my window open. Anyway, Anthony Ramos and Jasmine Cephas-Jones have broken up after 6 years together.
Yeah, like 3 weeks before their wedding.
Yes, because reportedly he cheated on her
from a TikTok. Like, from that's when it was spread.
Yes. So, basically, I think it was, like, last weekend, maybe? This person who has this TikTok account where they accept kind of, like, stories, I guess, about celebrities. And then they kind of, like, reenact them. Did this reenactment of, like, this actor comes into... I'm working in this strip club, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this actor comes in... like this Latino actor comes in with this white woman and they're all over each other. And I recognize him, Google him, realize like it's not his fiance. And it's like, maybe they haven't announced it yet or whatever. But basically since then the rumors have grown and basically they have broken up. Like you said, 3 weeks before their wedding. The internet is very upset about this. I'm kind of upset about it, too. I really liked them together.
I did, too. I really liked them together. And I felt like from, you know, the internet, they were very in love. And it's just like, damn.
Another man gets a little famous and decides.
I'm like, but you didn't even try to do it slyly.
Literally. And like a few weeks before your fucking wedding, dude. Like, what? It's unreal.
But also, TikTok is fucking relentless.
Oh, my God. Never letting up.
Never. Didn't think I needed to hear, it was Navi Young Night. You didn't dance with me.
Don't
I've heard it so much
laugh
in the last
the
two days.
All night.
Literally, I'm like.
Bringing back the trend, finally, after like
yes.
6 months. But yeah, she's deleted some posts with him. Her dad apparently deleted his birthday post for Anthony. And I mean, like someone has confirmed it. I don't think their reps have said anything, but she was at the Gotham Awards on Monday night and she wasn't wearing her ring. She was hanging with David. So I don't know, I saw a tweet and I feel like maybe it's true, I don't know, but like they were like, Jasmine's definitely getting the Hamilton cast in the divorce.
Yeah, no, I was saying, I was like, where are they gonna be? I'm like, Jasmine's in David's show, so.
Yeah, like I think they're homies, so tough luck, Anthony.
Will Lynn stick by you?
I don't know. Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda. But yes, that's the latest in celebrity breakups. A lot of celebrities have been breaking up lately.
Yes. Camila and Sean. I don't know if we talked about that.
Camila and Sean broke up. Yeah, that's a good point.
Kaya Gerber and
Jacob Elordi.
Yes.
Did you see his cover, like, shoot for whatever, like, that came out yesterday? I don't know what it was for, actually. But he said something like, I'm not in the business of, like, making movies that I don't care about just to make money. And people were like, buddy, you did 3 Kissing Booth movies.
Literally, like...
like, what 3. Are you talking about? And, I mean, well, another rumor on TikTok is that a couple that had broken up is now back together. Chase Stokes and Madeline Klein from Outer Banks.
Oh, really?
Apparently, they were together over the weekend, and people are like, they're back together.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that was a quick little hiatus.
That was, yeah, I feel like that was like a chaotic breakup, but I feel like it was because she's been like fucking not in America.
Right, like she was filming the Knives Out sequel, like, good, which, like, good for her, like, pop off, but... Well, I think that's all for Jasmine and Anthony.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Just acknowledge.
People were also quoting, like, like her song from Hamilton, like, Say No to This.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, the Ramos pamphlet.
Yeah, literally.
TikTok's funny when it wants to be.
I know. But, I mean, it's kind of a layup. It's right there.
Literally. Literally. Okay. What do we want to do? Adele, and then last one?
And Grammy noms.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, yeah. Blind. Okay, let's do a quick Adele and then Grammy noms.
Yes, perfect. So Adele dropped her album at long last. Her 30. First album in, like, 6 years or whatever.
Yes.
30. It's out. It's in the world. It's breaking records. Giselle, how do you feel about this album?
At first I was like, and I still feel like it didn't wow me. Like, in first listen, the way that, mm-hmm. like, I think with Adele, it'll be this way. Like, everyone's going to have a favorite Adele album, right? Like, everyone has a favorite Ari album, whatever. And, like, when I listened to 21 for the first time, like, I fully felt like I was ascending. And I didn't feel that with 25. I like 25. But with 30, I like a lot of the songs now. Like, I listen to them more now that I've just, like, put them in my rotation. When I listened to the album the first way through, I was kind of like, ugh, there's no, like, sucker punches. You know, I feel like with Adele, you kind of want a sucker punch. But I don't think that's what she meant with this album. And now that I listen to it more, I'm like, these are just really good songs. And Adele sounds very good. You know, like, that's how I feel. And it's Adele. And she's amazing. And her voice is amazing. And anything she says out of her mouth is going to be great.
Yeah.
What do you
think? Totally agree. I mean, the first listen through, the morning it came out, you know, all I was seeing was people being like, oh my God, like, this is her best album. Like, this is the best she's ever done, which I think is complete hyperbole. Like, I do not agree with that at all. But in the days following, I just, like, completely found favorites and, like, really love all of them. Like, they're just great. And I think maybe we were expecting something different from Adele, and in reality, she's very good at what she does and doesn't really need to experiment, and, like, they're just good Adele songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
Like, they're Adele songs. They're not, like, anything groundbreaking necessarily, but they're really, like you said, she sounds amazing. If you're going to listen to Adele, you can listen to these songs, and they're great.
Yes, completely agree.
My favorite is Oh My God.
Yes, my favorite. I have a top 4. And my top 4 are... Hold on. I sent them to Kavali today, so I have them on hand. Hold on. Oh My God, Woman Like Me, and Easy On Me.
Yes. I also really like All Night Parking. I know it's an interlude, but I love it.
Yes.
It's very dreamy. And yeah, you said Woman Like Me as well. I like that one. Did you say I Drink Wine?
I didn't, but I do like that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the ones people were hyping, like I Drink Wine and To Be Loved, those I feel like were the ones people were really hyping. And I agree. Just like not, they're good, but they're not my favorites at all.
I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, yeah. Anyway, congrats to Adele.
Congrats, Adele.
Good job.
I have signed up for her pre-order for the Vegas residency.
Oh, have you?
I have.
Interesting.
I have done that task, so we'll see.
Oh my goodness.
I may be going with Kubale if
I can't wait to see how much those tickets are.
I know. I put a cap on how much I want to spend, which is an egregious amount.
That's smart, though. It's smart.
Okay. Anyway. Grammys.
The Grammy noms are out. And I think they're as expected in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, who? Olivia Rodrigo, like 7 nominations, right? Something like that.
Olivia, a lot. Doja, a lot. I think Justin had a lot.
Justin, yeah. Billie Eilish, of course.
Yes.
Silk Sonic
had a ton.
John Batiste had a lot as well.
Yes. Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, low-key.
Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett, Album of the Year nomination. Lil Nas X.
Yes.
Cleaned up on the nomination front. Would love to see him. I mean, he has a Grammy, but would love to see him get recognized for this album. Like,
Will
love
SZA
to see him
get her first Grammy, finally.
For Kiss Me More.
Or Good Days,
yeah.
I think she could win for Good or Kiss Me More than she would win for Good Days, even though I love Good Days. I think the proximity to Doja Cat, who's probably going to win a lot this year, or get snubbed. You never know. But I think she could win for Kiss Me More. Kiss Me More is fucking everywhere. So
it's everywhere. And I was just thinking about this last night, and I was just talking about it. You know, I'm assuming artists get royalties from TikTok.
Yeah.
When people, you know,
use their songs,
especially directly from them. Doja Cat must be rolling in it.
She has so much money.
Since 2020. She must be so rich, I swear. There's, like, unbelievable.
She has to be one of the richest.
She has to have made the most money off of streaming, like, all that stuff. Like, not maybe not the most, but
Pepsi.
In that.
Do you see her Pepsi? Yeah.
She's on in commercials. She's everywhere.
She's everywhere. The world was like, we are on board.
It's your moment. Yeah.
Yes. Miss Rodrigo also cleaned up. A strong snub of the Grammys is our girl, Miss Cyrus.
I know. Miley's album got snubbed.
For, I think, one of her best works.
Truly, not even like some sort of like rock nomination. It's actually so disrespectful.
Miley is culture.
Literally, and that was truly the most egregious one for me. Like, just like from like music that I've listened to, I know like BTS didn't get record or didn't they got one, but they didn't get. They got a nomination, but I don't think they got record or song. Which is like kind of really rude.
Yeah, they didn't get record.
Or song. Oh, no. Or. Oh my God, truly Ed Sheeran with Bad Habits under Song of the Year.
I'm like, was that everywhere? Or are you just doing it because it's Ed Sheeran?
Phineas and Best New Artist.
Saweetie and Best New Artist. I'm like, Saweetie's not a new artist.
Truly.
It's probably gonna
come down to Olivia Rodrigo or the Kid Laroi. I think Olivia's gonna clean up.
I think she that to me, if you're really giving Best New Artist by Best New Artist, Olivia Rodrigo deserves to win Best New Artist.
100%.
Her 2021
she was
fucking
moment
insane
this year, yeah. Like, and from the start to the finish as well. Like, I know the Kid Laroi came in and was, like, huge, especially this summer. That song is a fucking hit with Justin Bieber. It's a hit. It's, like, no doubt in my mind, it's absolutely a banger. But Olivia Rodrigo, from start to finish, owned the year, 100%.
She did.
Yeah, BTS only got Best Pop Duo or Group Performance for Butter, and I think they were projected to get maybe, like, a song or a record. And Butter is the fucking moment, so that's disrespectful.
Sad.
Yeah, I mean, happy for Givian, his first Grammy nom. Arlo Parks, first
Love
Grammy
Arlo
noms.
Parks.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, like, that's coming up, where award season is coming upon us soon.
I'm ready.
And I'm ready. I'm ready to experience it all.
It's that time of the year.
Yes, the best.
It's a joyous occasion, award season, when I'm streaming pod.
Yes, it is. We have a lot of movies to see.
Yes.
Speaking of movies, we saw.
We did. Father, Son, and House of Gucci. Meg.
What?
It wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
I was enamored for the first 30 minutes with Adam Driver and Lady Gaga on the screen together. I did yelp in glee multiple times, and then swiftly it just became not a very good movie.
Yeah, it was incredibly long. And that is something I will say on this podcast.
Long.
Every movie is too long this year. And you know, I usually don't really mind, right?
Right.
But I just looked up the runtime for West Side Story. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Why are these movies 3 hours? It's not needed. It's not. We used to do movies in an hour and a half. Why are we? Why?
But it's like, it's not even just like the big action movies or like a big movie musical like that. It's like all of them are 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The House of Gucci, The Last Duel. Like, all of these movies are just so long.
It's not
like,
needed.
And with House of Gucci, it especially was not needed. It was way too long. I think my first reaction after was, there was a plot. There was certainly a plot, but there wasn't a point.
No.
There was no point to be made. The points that were made are that Lady Gaga is pretty talented, as we fucking know. Mm-hmm. She's very talented. Adam Driver, always a delight, right? And like you said, seeing them together was amazing. Adam Driver did the most smiling I've ever seen him do in my life, and that was delightful.
I do love him.
And the vibes were immaculate at times, but then they weren't. And I don't know, what did you think of the Jared Leto performance? Because that seems to be what overtook Twitter over Thanksgiving weekend, when a lot of people went to see it, because we did get to see it early.
Yes.
And like, I kind of forgot that, because then everyone was reacting to it over Thanksgiving weekend, and I was like, this is old news.
It was a choice.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit like extra, but the whole movie was extra. Like we said, like, it wanted to be camp, but it didn't. It wanted to be taken seriously, but also like, it wanted to be camp, and Jared Leto was trying to be camp, but also like, he was part of a storyline that we were supposed to care about, and it was stressful.
Right. Yeah. I think people either love it or hate it. It, you know, there were a few moments where he made me laugh. I don't know whether it was because I was laughing at his stupidity or laughing at the actual, like, point of it.
Right.
But again, I don't know what the point of it was. I don't know what message it was trying to send, right? Like, about any of it. So just a bit confusing, just a bit silly, and unfortunately, just not the best movie ever.
It was not a Star Wars one.
But Lady Gaga could still get nominated for Best Actress, so we'll keep an eye on that. Although there seem to be some late entries with movies that people haven't seen yet, like West Side Story, which just had its first screenings this week, and people are fucking raving about it. That it's like really good, which is kind of surprising. I feel like everyone was like, oh yeah, Spielberg did West Side Story, it's coming out at Christmas, it's just a movie musical. And then everyone was like, wait, Steven Spielberg did West Side Story?
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. and like Nightmare Alley with Bradley Cooper, the Guillermo yes. del Toro movie that has a big cast, and then the Adam McKay movie with Leo and Jennifer Lawrence and Timmy yes. and Meryl. Like, so we shall see. Hopefully Gaga gets a little nomination, because then we can see her fashion looks.
Which is the only thing I really want.
Yeah. For sure. Anyway, I feel like we caught up on most of the stuff that we missed last week.
We caught up on culture.
We caught up on culture. Yeah. That's that.
us always, truly. Being so hype, and then the end we're like... And that's
yeah, but I'm like reflecting. I feel like we were very insightful and very informative this episode. You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Not that we aren't always, but I really feel like especially this episode we were.
I agree.
Go leave us a review. Yes. Follow us. Subscribe to our podcast.
Yes.
Tell your friends, tell your family. Post your
love us.
I'm Screaming is in your top podcast. Let us know.
Yes.
And
I would love that.
Yeah.
And that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Boom. Love you all. We're hoping you're going to have a merry holiday season. We'll see you next week. But most importantly, love you, Meg.
Love you, G.